be, blessed be the name. Amen. How many are glad that this is a day that the Lord has made? We don't even earn a day unless the Lord makes it. Amen. So we just bless the Lord. We thank God for all that He's done, what He's doing, and most important for what God is going to do. Not what we see, but by faith. What we believe God is going to do. Our theme again is what?
Believing God
against all odds. Amen. And never there was a time we need to trust and believe God against all odds. This is the day of the time. Amen. And two, we thank God for my wife. Amen. Her health and strength. We thank God for all of our elders, ministers, and everybody in their respective place, the mothers of the church, the ushers, musicians. Amen. We just praise the Lord. Take the sum of the parts to make the whole. What my math students at school? Takes the sum of the parts, right, Davina? I know you learned that in the freshman year. You forgot that then if you're singing. But it still takes the sum of the parts to make the whole. I learned that in high school about 10 years ago, right before I graduated. So I feel right. Amen. We bless the Lord. Thank God for saying, Danny, he said he's going to make it on Wednesday. Praise the Lord. Thank God for saying, Danny. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to keep you all alone. Amen. I know the kids have school. And in our minds, we've already, most of us have already climbed into bed. It has manifested itself. But some of us have already climbed into bed. And I'm not going to try and wake you up out of the bed yet. Amen. We just praise the Lord anyhow. We're going to we're going to go to five verses of Isaiah chapter 5. We're going to go reverse because my computer crashed some kind of way, so we have to use another computer, so we won't have all the scriptures on the screen, but we will have Isaiah 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 7 of Isaiah 5. Amen. Verses 1 through 7 of Isaiah 5. And we're still, let's read verses 1 through 10 of Isaiah 5. Verses 1 through 10 of Isaiah 5. Amen. And we're still continuing our theme, not so much the thought, the theme from Sunday. After all we've seen, do we still doubt? Right? After all we've seen, do we still doubt? And you know, that's almost an amazing thing when you think that those apostles walked with the Lord, saw all those miracles. People raised from the dead. Even there was a miracle when the Lord was in the garden and they came to get him. And the scripture says that Peter cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. Peter cut off his ear. Right? Who knows his name? I told y'all his name. What's his name? I should make y'all look it up. His name is Malchus. Alright? Malchus is his name. But the miracle of the thing was this. When Peter cut off his ear, the Lord stopped Peter. Now this is, you know, you all in self. When God performs a miracle like this, you miss it. So tonight, don't you miss it. Amen. God is moving all around you, but don't you? So he cut off the servants of the high priest's ear and fell on the ground. The Lord told Peter, he said, put your sword back in the sheath. He said, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. But that wasn't a miracle. The Lord picked the ear up and put it back on his ear. If that was me and I saw that, I was like, wait a minute. Right? But they missed it. You know what that means? Sometimes we can be into what so much into what we want to do that we will actually miss the mind of the Lord. How did God perform that miracle? How did they see that and still go through their actions? Because they missed it, amen. So we're going to continue our thought on seeing but doubting. God is moving everywhere, but we still have doubt. And we're gonna actually explore an individual in the New Testament that most people don't spend a lot of time with. I know, but we're gonna go there, amen. So we're gonna start off here in Isaiah. Do we all have it? And for those that don't have it, this portion of the scripture will be on the screen. Amen? Verse 1 reads, now I will sing to my, not just anybody, but my what? Well-beloved, a song of my beloved touching his name. My well-beloved has a kingdom in me. So everything about this individual should be blessed. He wasn't just in a fruitful hill, but was in a what? Very fruitful hill, amen? And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the... God said, you know what, when I do something, I'm going to give you the best. How many know we got baptized in Jesus' name and got filled with the Holy Ghost? That was the best that God could give. You couldn't get nothing better than that. Amen? Because when we got filled with the Holy Ghost, we got a portion of God in us. Hallelujah. So God gave us his what? And we still have his, we still have his best. Amen? He said, build a tower in this of it, also made a wine press in hand, and he, I guess, you know, you're so blessed, you can't help but do something with the blessing. You can't help but bring forth something what? Good. So when he looked at it, she bring forth grape, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now the inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray thee. And I wonder if the Lord was here tonight, and if he was speaking to us. He said, now I've given you the best. I've taken away every excuse for you not to succeed. I've taken away every excuse for you not to be fruitful. He said, now I want you to judge between me and what I've done for you. Because I've given you the what? The best. So he said, now I want you to judge between me and my vineyard. The Lord asked some questions. He said, I've given you the best. There's no higher. There's no better you can get than the Lord saving your soul and filling you with his spirit. He said, what could have been done more to my vineyard than I might? God said, I've already done all I can do. I've given you the best. He said, now my question tonight, what more could I have done? Can we say praise the Lord? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. And now, go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the heads thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned, nor God, you know, Lord said, I'm just going to let it grow. I'm not going to even take care of it. I'm not going to let it prune it. I'm not going to do anything to help it. But there shall come up briars and thorns. And we know where briars and thorns got their origin. Our origination was when Adam sinned. Right? That's when briars and thorns got their origination. I will also command the clouds that they rain. God said, I've already been giving you the best, and you haven't shown any gratitude or appreciation. So what I've been giving to you, he said, I'm going to now take it away because you are missing. Amen. He said, and I will lay it waste, and it shall not be wholesome. Verse 7 says, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is there. He said, the vineyard I'm talking about is my people. Amen. I'm giving you a natural illustration, but the parallel or the correlation I'm making is concerning a spiritual people. And the men of Judah is pleasant plant. And he looked for a judgment. God said, I was looking for my people to do what was right. Judgment was justice. He said, but they walked forth. He said, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold they cry. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In my ears, saith the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair Without, he said, you're doing all that. He said, but guess what? Because I'm involved. It's not, they're not going to be inhabited. He said, yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one man, and the seed of an homer shall yield an ephah. Is it a homer or omer? Praise the Lord. May the Lord have blessed the reading of his word. And the church said,
word of the Lord.
Word of the Lord is blessed already. He may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So God is dealing with it. His illustration is a natural illustration, but the correlation he makes is spiritual. God said, I've given you the best. Amen. He said, I've hedged you in. I've got rid of the stones. He said, I planted you in a fruitful field. But when I expected that you would be bring forth a blessing, you brought forth a curse. God said, I was looking for you to bring forth good grapes, but you brought forth. God said, what more could I, in your situation tonight, in God blessing and moving, what more could he have done? Now we're going to come back to this, but now we're going to go to John, the book of John, chapter 20, where we're at on Sunday. And we're talking about how can God do all of this and we keep missing it. Amen. God is blessing, but because we don't, God is not moving like we expected he should move, we keep missing it. And the person that we're going to study tonight is Thomas. Not because Thomas was a doubter, even though he was a doubter. Not because Thomas was an unbeliever, and he was an unbeliever. But we're going to study Thomas because Thomas was one of the most pessimistic of all the apostles. He was very pessimistic. Now, I'll throw this out for you. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when it comes to Thomas, the only correlation of mentioning concerning Thomas was that he was one of the Lord's apostles. All right, you can look it up. I say, yeah, I know all y'all are going to check it out anyway. You should check it out. All right, look at somebody say, check it out. Y'all look a little quiet out there. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the only thing they ever mentioned was that Thomas was one of the Lord's apostles. But John gets deeper into the life of Thomas. Now, none of the other writers, or the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, or Luke, ever mentioned that Thomas was called Didymus, which means twin. None of the other writers in the New Testament ever mentions what Thomas says, but John. Matthew just says he's one of the Lord's apostles. Mark just says he's one of the Lord's apostles. And Luke just says Thomas was one of the Lord's apostles. But then, because the Bible says John was very close to Jesus, and John writes that if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, that you shall ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be given unto you. And Jesus said, I am the true vine. Amen. Everybody know he's the true vine? So John brings out a whole different perspective concerning Thomas. John is the only writer in the Gospels that tells us what Thomas said. The rest of them just identify him. But Thomas was a very pessimistic person. Right? Pessimistic, or you can be optimistic. Right? Y'all with me? I know that somebody said, yeah, I'm with you, but I'm relaxing in my bed right about now. But Thomas was a very, very pessimistic person. Even though he saw all that the Lord had done. Amen. Let's go to John 20. We're going to go to John 20. And we all went over this on Sunday. How many of us remember what went over on Sunday concerning John? Amen. Concerning Thomas. But let's go to verse 19. We're going to go here. And then we're going to go through the episode when Thomas speaks. All right. I guess if we were to have a subtopic tonight, tonight, besides after all we've seen, the question we ask is, are you another Thomas? Are you another Thomas? After you see what God is doing, you still have a pessimistic attitude. A pessimistic attitude never sees the good, but always sees a pessimistic attitude, even when God is blessing. Somebody said, I'm a little better than I was yesterday. A pessimistic attitude says, I just ain't doing no, I'm not doing any better. That individual keep missing what God is doing. Amen. So verse 19 of John 20 reads, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw it. So all of the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you. My Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And this is skipping out to verse 24 so we can get to what we want to really get to. All right. Verse 24 read, but Thomas, one of, called Didymus. Didymus meant twin. Now, Thomas, John is the only one that calls Thomas Didymus. Amen. Twin, and a lot of the Bible teachers and scholars believe they called him twin because Thomas was Jesus' twin. So that's why John calls him Didymus. Remember, John was the beloved apostle whom the Lord loved. So he was closer to Jesus than the other apostles. So now he's writing from his perspective, not from the outside in, but from the inside. He's telling you what he sees because he's close to the Lord. Amen. So he calls him what? Didymus. Was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he was pessimistic. I see what God is doing for everybody else, but he ain't doing it for me. I read the Bible about what God is supposed to do, but he ain't doing it for me. I know what God says he can do in people's lives, but he ain't doing it for me. That's a pessimistic attitude. Amen. Because God can do anything but fail. Alright, so it says, Thomas said, except I see in his hands the print of nails, and put my fingers into the print of nails, and thrust my hand into his side, he says, that's what a pessimistic person, they always have to see to believe. Won't take God at his word face value. Amen. Actually, 14, John. All right, we'll come back to that. I will come back to that in 1 minute, okay? And it says, and after 8 days, so the issue now is you have to seek it to believe. Why do you have to see more when the Lord has done so much? Oh, he healed the lepers. He brought dead people back to life. And you still don't believe? You are an eyewitness. And the Bible says the apostles were eyewitness. They didn't hear about it from somebody else. They saw what the Lord was doing. If you can see that God raised the dead, know what the Lord told you? He said, I am.
Yes.
I am the resurrection. And I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He asked him a question, believeth thou this? And most of us be Thomas like, well, I gotta see this first. The reason that we don't get the blessings that God has intended for us is because we're always looking to see. Amen. And if you read down a little further, the Lord tells Thomas, he said, okay, Thomas, yeah, you sound the Lord. He said, well, you believe because you
see.
Right. Thomas was a pessimist. That's what happens in some of our lives. Unless I see it, I ain't believe it. I know word says, but look at somebody and say, don't be a Thomas. Come on, look at somebody and tell them, don't be a Thomas. This is like, what you're saying. You just have some talk once, going to the left, don't be a Thomas. Always got to see something to believe. Because you walk by sight and not by faith. So Thomas, John called Thomas Didymus three times. He calls him Didymus three times. And each time it was in correlation and relationship to a negative attitude. So the Lord said, Thomas, you believe because you see. But more, anybody want to be more blessed? He said, but more blessed is than believe in. So are you a Thomas that you have to see to believe, or do you trust and believe God that whatever he says, God can do it? Maybe not in my time, but God is faithful. The Bible says, and if he said it, he will bring it to pass. If the Lord spoke it, the scripture says, shall he not make it good? Then you're Thomas. Thomas, you always got to find something negative to say. Amen. Let's go. Now we're going to, can we just do a little study on Thomas? Now, once again, I want y'all to check this out anyway. See, I ain't never heard that before. That's a good one. You never heard something. That means you're supposed to be like the Bereans, right? The Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica. And then they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. But then they did something extra. They what? Searched the scriptures to see whether those things were. I challenge you to search. But not any other writers ever mentioned that Thomas said anything but John. Amen. So now let's go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, and this is when the Lord is talking to his apostles about Lazarus being asleep. Amen. He says Lazarus is asleep. And the apostles said, well, if he's sleeping, he's doing good. But they had missed it. So then Jesus tells them plainly, he said, no, Lazarus is dead. But then he said, I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. Well, Lord, why are you glad? He said, well, I'm about to do something you ain't never seen before. If you can only. So he's dealing with them about faith and believing. Amen. So then let's just go for the sake of time. Let's go to verse 11 of this 11th chapter. And our focus is going to be on who?
Thomas.
Amen. Now, he doesn't speak much, but every time he speaks, it's never in a positive. It was always in a pessimistic or a negative way. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go that I may awake him. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he doeth well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his, but they missed it. How many times the Lord talks about one thing, and we are somewhere else thinking about something else? So they missed it. Amen. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus. I can't speak to y'all in any other way. I just got to speak to you plainly. Right? I said, remember, if you remember in the 20th chapter of John, we went over, he said, Lord, I got tired of talking to them in Proverbs because they couldn't get it. So the Lord just spoke to them plainly. Amen. This is another one of those scenarios, because they were missing the spiritual part of what God was saying. God said, okay, plainly, he's dead. Right? You keep missing. So I want you to get it plainly. He is what? That he's dead. Amen. Then he says, verse 15, he said, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent he made. God is doing all this so you can what? I'm doing this to increase your faith. So he's telling them what he's doing. He said, I'm doing it so that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said, I told you Thomas didn't speak much. But it was something about Thomas. If all was blessing, he said, well, they ain't gonna last for so long. Yeah, there would be some people, God's doing something, yeah, they ain't gonna last for so long. He said, well, hey, you know, think somebody's coming around, they're doing a lot better. Ah, they ain't gonna last for so long. That's a pessimistic person. I know, we don't have none of y'all. Ah, this is for the internet. This is for y'all. Okay. So with Thomas, as negative and pessimistic as this was, he said, said Thomas, which is called the other ones. Our turn is, let us also go that we may. Wait a minute, what did he just say? What did the Lord just tell him? Right? Well, when you're pessimistic, you can't never see the good in anything. The Lord said, I'm there for your sake that you might believe. So he said, let us go. But Thomas said, let us go in. You again? Thomas, you don't get it. I already told you I'm going to awaken and I'm going to do something you've never seen before. But Thomas missed it. So the Lord was talking about performing a miracle to increase their faith. But Thomas' mind was out of whack. His mind was out of tune. Thomas was missing it. So the Lord, you follow me, you know what? I thought I was going to have to deal with Martha and Mary, but I got another one to bring around. Are you a Thomas tonight? God's trying to do something, but you keep missing it. So that's one of Thomas's issues. Now let's go to St. John chapter 14. We already read in the 20th chapter where Thomas said, except I see, I won't. This is a miracle in itself. Not a miracle, amazing. The Lord had been dealing with Thomas so much, and every time Thomas had to see something to believe. Will we ever take God and His Word at face value? Scripture could say, God said it, I believe it, and then what? That settles it for me. Amen. And do we have anybody that can say that settles it for me? Alright, let's just go through this whole 14th chapter in the beginning real fast together, amen? Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, ye believe. Now he's talking about believing again, right? So you already know who's going to be the first one to say something negative.
Thomas says unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest.
How can we know? Why is he always the first one? Why is Thomas always the first one to be so, I know people in the past, when they do something, say, oh, you know, you should do that, this ain't gonna happen. Pessimist, right? In life, if you make a minor increase, it's better than a minor decrease. So if you increase the slightest, if I used to pray 5 minutes, now I can pray 6 minutes, I'm going up. I'm not going backwards. So maybe I don't pray an hour like somebody else, but I'm increasing. So since I'm increasing, I'm getting better. So don't compare me with you. Let me grow at my own pace. I heard Peter say, we're not born in grace, but we have to grow. I have to grow in grace. So because I'm 2 years old and I don't walk like you walk, don't judge me. Because when I look at me, I remember when I couldn't hardly walk at all, and I see where I am today. So I don't need you to be a Thomas and try and tell me what I can't and ain't gonna do when I'm making progress. Amen. But Thomas, how many of you have a Thomas in every ground? If you got a Thomas with Jesus, after all that he's seen, he was still negative. Somebody said, if you don't hurry up, you're going to lose half. We're going to keep going, all right? And so Thomas said, Lord, how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, you asked me a question.
The shortest verse in the Bible is John 11,
35. I just test it on a little bit. John 11, 35 is the shortest verse in the Bible. And it says, Jesus wept. Right? Well, why did Jesus weep? They said he wasn't weeping because he was dead, because he already knew he was going to bring it back. He was weeping because of their unbelief. All right, so we all learned something today. So if I don't know nothing, I know it's only two. John 11, 35, there's two verses. Right? Jesus wept. Amen. I think it's John 11, 35. I haven't read it in a while. So y'all might have to correct me on that. All right. But he says, Philip says unto him, Lord, show us the Father that suffice us. Jesus says unto him, he said, now show us what? Father. And we'll be satisfied. Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not? You keep missing it. After all I'm doing as the Father, you're looking for something that's right in your face. The blessing is right before you, but you miss it because you're looking for something else. Why? Because you have a pessimistic attitude. You are a Thomas and you just can't believe. Amen. Jesus said, I've not been so long a time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip. He that has he talking about maybe, right? He said, he that has seen me. How come you can't figure out who Jesus is? Jesus said, wait a minute. If I tell you, if you see me, you see. What is he trying to figure out? He just told them who the Father was. And then he says, I come in my name. I come in my Father's name. What's your name?
Jesus.
And I'm in my Father's name, so the Father's name must be
Jesus.
Alright, there's no charge for that one, right? Let's stay on Thomas. I just figured we throw that in at no charge. So you can throw that in your search book. Amen? So he says, believeth that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the word. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. My words. Believe everything you see. Believe for the work's sakes. Amen. So he's dealing once again with what? Believe. We are so many Thomases, we keep missing the law, the mark of the Lord. But God gives us his greatest and his best. But we keep missing what God is giving us. Because we're looking for something else. Amen. We need to just say God as faith, value, and his words. And Lord, if you said, I don't know how you're going to do it. Oh, let me get down a little bit further. Let me get down to another scripture, okay? Go down to verse 14. Let's go to verse 14. And this is what the Lord says. Amen. And I trust and believe what God says. He said, if you ask anything, if you ask in my name, he said, I what? But then James said, long as you don't ask amiss, that you make a swim on your lust. So God said, if you believe in me and ask anything in my name, I'll do it for you. Now let's go back to verse 12. We might end here on the same chapter, verse 12. When the Lord is telling us something, why do we keep looking for something else? He said, in essence, what he was telling me, he said, listen, I've healed the sick, I've raised the dead, I've opened the eyes of the blind, I've healed the leper. He said, I've done everything. He said, forget about the words. But what have my works said? Then verse 12, he says unto them, verily, verily, which is what? Truly, truly. God said, there's no doubt in this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that, all you have to do is what? Why are we trying to work to try and do something? He said, just Thomas. Don't you be a Thomas? Don't you have to see it? Just do what?
Believe it.
So we're gonna make up some Thomas signs. Right? When we deal with each other, when they ain't looking to walk away, you ever do that when you was a kid? Slap them on the back and say, congratulations, have a little Thomas tag on your hand. Tap them on the back and give them Thomas. Okay. I mean, you know, we up there talking to you see this? I mean, keep going. But we're going to make up some Thomas signs, right? Just hide in the palm of your hand. And every time somebody gives you one of them negative things, tap them on the back. They won't see it, but everybody else will see it. Right? Somebody says, no, don't put it on their back, put it on their foreheads. You know what the Lord used to do in the Old Testament? You know what a phylacteries were? They were hanging between their eyes, and they were also hanging on their wrists, so they could always remember the Word of God. That's what the phylacteries were for them to remember the Word of God. They had a little box that had scriptures in it, right? Just to remember what God has said. Sometimes we need a remembrance. Amen. Verse 12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on the works that I do shall he do. But then he adds another twist. He said, not only shall you do the work, but what?
Greater works.
Greater works it means because I go to my Father. I wonder how many Thomases do we have tonight that's still waiting to see before we believe? After all that God has done, why do you still doubt? If you know, just think, some people say, man, if I walk with the Lord, I'd be so spiritual. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't be any more spiritual if you walk with the Lord. Because he's in you. Everywhere you go, he's with you. That's something that the apostles didn't have until after he died and was resurrected. Right? So if he's in you and you still can't believe and have doubt, if you were with him, you still would believe. Right? Because you have the greatest witness. The Bible says that the Spirit of God is in us, that's in us, bears witness with the Spirit of God that's around us. And that same Spirit that bears witness, it leads and guides us into all truth. So even if you were back there, you wouldn't believe if you don't believe now, because God is now. John said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you will. God said, I'll. So if God is not doing it, it's a fallen God, it's a fallen as we all stand. Don't be a Thomas. Don't be a doubter. Don't have to see to believe, but take God and his word face value. He says, the words that I do shall you do, and anybody looking for doing something, not for pride's sake, not to get a name. But are we looking to do some great works so that we can be just like the Lord? Or will we be a Thomas as Matthew, Mark, and Luke said? Matthew, Mark, Luke said he just went there, but he didn't do nothing. Right, he just counted in the number, but he didn't do anything. Then the last verse, St. John 21 and 2, says, after the Lord had resurrected, Thomas called Didymus, St. John 21 and 2, was there with Peter and the other apostles when Peter said, we were fishing. And once again, the Lord showed up and made them believe. They'd been fishing all night long as the elders and the ministers come forward. And when they came to shore, the scripture says Jesus saw them, and he said, children, have you any meat? They said, Lord, they didn't know it was the Lord. They said, no, we fished all night, we didn't catch anything. He said, well, drop the nets on the right side. And when he dropped the net, it came up full of fish. And one of them said, "Behold, it is the Lord." Every time the Lord did something, when Thomas was around and was trying to increase his faith, God is doing things to try and increase our faith. But don't be Thomas. I don't know if y'all name is Thomas. I'm not talking about that kind of Thomas. I'm talking about a doubting Thomas. Always got to seem to believe. Can we just take God at his word and say, "Lord, I've seen all that you've done. You don't have to do anything more for me to believe. I just believe." Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.